All right, because we are installing a new elder today, I decided it would be a good opportunity for us to just take a slight deviation from the book of Acts and to focus on the role of elders in the church. And so that's my focus today. Although we are going to start off in Acts chapter 14, we're going to eventually get into 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. For those of you that don't know, last Sunday at our annual business meeting, we voted to affirm Michael Musser as a new deacon and Eric Moody as our new elder. And so today at the end of service, we will install Eric officially as an elder here at CFF. This is a joyous occasion for us, as it should be. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to look into some of what the Word of God has to say about the role of elders. We're really just going to scratch the surface. There is so much in Scripture regarding elders. Over the past few weeks, we've been focusing on Acts chapter 13. And as you know, that is where Luke records what happened when Paul and Barnabas were sent out by their church to be missionaries and church planters in the largely Gentile areas of the Roman Empire. Last week, we saw that Christ's church is founded upon the word of the Lord. It is built up in spite of opposition, and it grows as the word of the Lord spreads. So, as a result of the gospel being proclaimed to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles, churches were established and began to grow as the word of the Lord was spreading in the region. There was, however, one more thing that each of these churches needed, and that is proper biblical leadership. This would be provided for them by Paul and Barnabas on their return trip as they pass through again on their way back to their home church. We will look at this in a few weeks in Acts chapter 14, but I want to give us a little preview. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts 14, verses 21 to 23. Acts 14, verses 21 to 23. When they had preached the gospel to that city, which was Derbe, and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So Paul and Barnabas, as we've seen, were going from city to city, preaching in the synagogues, preaching in the streets, proclaiming the gospel. And as they traveled along, churches were planted and established. Then when they came back through on their way back to their home church, they took the time to appoint elders in every one of those cities. And note, elders is plural. They appointed men to be the leaders of those churches. And then they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. This pattern of elders being raised up in every church is affirmed over and over and over again in Scripture. In the book of Acts alone, there are 18 times that elders are mentioned, just in the book of Acts. In fact, biblical eldership was the only form of church leadership structure found in the early church. God knew exactly how his churches should be led, and he gave us clear instructions in that regard in several books of the New Testament. Now, we're only going to have time to look at one of those passages today, and that passage is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So why don't you turn in your Bibles there as we focus this morning on the role of elders in the church. Let me read our text to us. I probably need to turn there myself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here, near to the end of this letter to the church, Peter speaks to the elders, the pastors, the overseers of the churches. He exhorts them or appeals to them as one elder to another, to shepherd or pastor the flock of God that is theirs. Those who God has placed under them, exercising oversight over them properly, as he goes on to describe. Now, we know that Jesus himself appointed Peter as an apostle, and that he was one of the closest to Jesus and was the spokesman of the apostles. Yet here, with touching modesty, he refers to himself as a fellow elder. And he describes what that entails. He is a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker in the glory of Christ that is going to one day be revealed. So first and foremost, elders are to be lovers of Christ, witnesses for Christ and partakers in the glory of salvation that is ours through Christ. It is these criteria that will motivate and sustain a love for Christ's church, and especially for those placed by Christ under their oversight. All elders witness of Christ. All elders share in his sufferings and his glory. For Jesus is the pattern for our lives. Love for Christ creates in the elders the desire to shepherd. And this is exactly what Peter commands them to do. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Peter is reminding them of their God-given role to be shepherds of God's flock. And that includes protecting them, feeding them, and leading them. So we could describe the role of elders being shepherds. And as you know, the biblical image of shepherding, of a shepherd caring for his flock, ensuring its safety, leading it to fresh pasture and clear water, carrying the weak, seeking the lost, and treating the injured, it's precious. It's precious. The Word of God uses this image repeatedly to describe God and his loving care for his people. Thus, when both Peter and Paul directly instructed the elders to do their duty, they both employed this shepherding imagery. The word for shepherd in the New Testament is the word poimen, which is where we get the word pastor from. Thus, the elders are shepherds or pastors of the church. Those terms can be used interchangeably. Pastor Don and I are pastors, but we're also elders, as Eric will be. So if we want to understand the role of elders, we must understand the biblical imagery of shepherding. As keepers of the flock of God, elders are called to protect, to feed and to lead those entrusted by God to their care. So let's start with protecting the flock. What do we need to protect the local church from? Well, Scripture tells us we need to protect them from false teachers and from false teaching. This is one of the major roles entrusted to the elders. In fact, listen to what the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 32. Let me read that to you. The Apostle Paul called the Ephesian elders to come meet with him on his way back to Jerusalem, and he did so to warn them. Listen to what he says to them. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Paul here is acknowledging that the church belongs to Christ. He is the one that purchased us with his blood. Amen? But Christ has raised up elders, under shepherds, if you will, under the great shepherd. And one of the roles that we are given is to be alert and be on guard, guarding, protecting the flock from false teachers from without and from false teaching from within. In verse 29, danger from false teachers from outside the church. Verse 30, danger of some within the church speaking twisted things to draw away disciples. Quite often, those in the church will be influenced by false teaching from outside the church, and they will begin to espouse it themselves. This is dangerous, as others can be influenced by it. And so the elders are charged to be alert, be on watch, be on guard, protect the flock. To Titus, Paul writes that one of the requirements for an elder is that he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. Note that. The word of God means what the word of God meant when it was taught. And the elders need to know what the word of God says, what it means, and not depart from it. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Now, this is not one of my favorite roles as an elder, to rebuke false teaching in the church, to rebuke those who espouse false teaching, but it is absolutely necessary. It's vital to protect the flock. So elders then are to be protectors, watchmen, defenders, and guardians of God's people. In order to accomplish this, they need to handle accurately the word of truth. They need to be spiritually alert, and they must be men of conviction and courage. So, the role of elders as shepherds includes protecting the flock and feeding the flock. Throughout the New Testament, extraordinary emphasis is placed on the centrality of teaching God's Word. That's because God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, are our spiritual food. God has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Amen? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in the Great Commission, included the command to teach them all that I have commanded you. Paul later exhorted Timothy, who was himself an elder, to, quote, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. He writes to Timothy as well that all elders must be able to teach. And as noted before, he wrote to Titus that elders must, quote, hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine. This is a primary role of the elders in our church and in every church, is to teach the word of God. That's because the Church of Christ is founded upon the word of the Lord, and it grows, matures, and is protected by the word of God. So the elders protect, nourish, and guide the church by preaching and teaching the word of the Lord. Amen? And one of the greatest needs of the church in all ages is to know who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for our salvation. We refer to this as the gospel. And there is a vital need for all of God's chosen children to know the true gospel of God's grace, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And listen to me, we need to be reminded again and again and again that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That Jesus was and is the eternal Son of God, who came down from heaven to earth and who took upon himself our humanity to live the life that we could not live, a perfect, sinless life of obedience to the Father. And then, who laid down his life after fulfilling all aspects of the law for us. He voluntarily laid down his life as a sacrifice for our sins. Dying upon the cross, being buried in a tomb, and rising again on the third day, and appearing in his glorious resurrected body to over 500 witnesses before he ascended back into heaven and offered salvation and forgiveness of sin to everyone who calls upon his name for salvation. This is the gospel truth that we need to be taught and that we need to proclaim. And your elders do so in one form or another every single week. Praise be to God. We need that, lest we forget. We need to be reminded. So the role of the elders is that of a shepherd, protecting, feeding, and leading the flock. Look at verse 2 again in our text. Peter writes, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." Oversight here is the Greek word episkopos, meaning an overseer or a manager or a supervisor. And the truth is, every church needs leadership, needs management, governance, and guidance. So elders must also be managers. They must set goals, make decisions, give direction, and motivate. They are called to be good stewards of what has been entrusted to them. And think about what has been entrusted to them. The souls of the local expression of the body of Christ has been entrusted to them to manage well to the glory of God. This is a huge responsibility, which is probably why the Apostle Paul writes these words to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:17. We read this: "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." God intends for the elders to rule over the church, and they should be honored as such. And so the role of elders is that of a shepherd, protecting, feeding, and leading the flock. Peter goes on in our text to write about their motivation and subsequent conduct. So let's look at the conduct of elders in verses 2 and 3. Let me read that again to you. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Peter here states three principles for the way in which elders should conduct themselves. Note this. Elders are to serve first, not under compulsion, but willingly. Elders are not forced to serve. They must aspire or desire to serve. The willing elder embraces his role as a steward over the souls entrusted into his care. Not every task of an elder will be easy or enjoyable. But a true elder is willing to do God's will because he is loved by God. He loves God, and he loves those whom God loves, the people of God, the flock entrusted to him. Second, elders are to serve not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Elders are not to serve for the purpose of personal gain, for money or power or fame. They are to serve eagerly out of a love for God and for his people. Now, it is no evil for shepherds to be paid for their labors. In fact, this is commanded in Scripture. However, that should not be the motivation for their serving. And third, they are not to be domineering, but they lead by being examples. Elders should rule more by setting an example to follow than by wielding power. They lead by setting an example to follow. They themselves are not exempt from following the commands of Scripture. They are not to strive to control others, but instead to inspire others. And their only authority comes from the Word of God. This is the authority for the elders. They have no authority on their own. We don't follow the authority of men. Amen? We follow the authority of God, the great shepherd. And elders are accountable to one another as well. That's why there's a plurality of elders, so that we can hold each other accountable to the Word of God. Then in verse 4, Peter promises a reward for those who serve as elders. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Make no mistake, Jesus is the chief shepherd whom the elders serve under. When he appears in the glory of his second coming, Peter says the elders will receive an unfading crown of glory. This word receive here in the text means to receive what is owed, a payment, compensation, or a reward. The crown of glory confers neither power nor riches. The crown of glory confers glory and honor. It is like the victor's wreath in the Greek athletic games, indicating that they have finished the race. They have won the prize. And the greatest prize of all is when we hear from Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest, the eternal rest that awaits all who serve the living God. Amen. May all of our elders fulfill their God-given roles and conduct themselves to the glory of God, and may they receive an unfading crown of glory. One last thing to notice in our text. In verse 5, we are told to be subject to the elders. Verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Now, that doesn't let you older people off the hook. Okay? It's not speaking about physical age here necessarily. It's speaking about the wisdom that God gives the elders and the position of leadership that they are in. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We're called to humble ourselves and to submit to the leaders that God has placed over us. The writer to the Hebrews puts it this way. Listen to Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. There's a great truth here. Elders, pastors, shepherds, those terms are interchangeable. They are a gift from God to the church, and we are to obey them, submit to them, and appreciate them because they have the responsibility to keep watch over our souls, for which they will have to give an account to God. I take that very seriously, and I share that every time we have a membership class, because when we become a member of the church, we are placing ourselves under those shepherds that God has placed in that church. We are committing ourselves to obey them and submit to them because they are watching over our souls. And again, as I said, your elders take that charge very seriously. And the writer to the Hebrews goes on a little bit tongue-in-cheek to say, it'd be nice if they could watch over your soul with joy and not with groaning. Nevertheless, even when there is some groaning, we still will watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Because we are called by God to obey and submit to the leaders that he places over us. And as I said earlier, that includes the elders submitting to one another. That's why we have a plurality of elders. The church was never, ever intended to be run by one person. There's terrible pitfalls, terrible dangers when that takes place. That's why there is no greater power or authority in any one of the elders. Together we lead the church and we hold one another accountable. And so we are looking forward to Eric joining with us so that he can hold Pastor Don and myself accountable to the Word of God and to our commitment as elders. And we want to do this. It is a desire that God has placed on our hearts. I could think of doing nothing else besides this for as long as God allows that. So I want you to join me in prayer, and then we will call Eric to come up to the platform and be installed as our newest elder here at Christian Family Fellowship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to be reminded from your word what the duties, roles, and responsibilities of elders are and how they should conduct themselves. And Father, I want to just thank you for how you have built and sustained this church, Christian Family Fellowship, for the last 33 years. You have raised up elders over this church body again and again and again. And we thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them. It was hard to say goodbye to Michael Ditmore. A couple of years back, it was hard to say goodbye to Jim Boyette. It was hard to say goodbye to David Israel. We thank you for these men. And we thank you now that we are able to say hello to Eric Moody as you have raised him up and affirmed him as an elder here. Lord, we pray that you would continue to raise up men who would desire to lead your church. We know that we will need elders, pastors, shepherds going forward. And we trust, Father God, that you already know who those will be and that you will raise them up in the right time. So, Father God, we give you thanks for this church. We give you thanks for your provisions for this church. We give you thanks for the members who have committed themselves to the work of the Lord here. And we pray for your continued blessing upon it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.